Time now for the Hardline.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside.
The Hardline features former St. Louis Blue, Cam Jansen.
Now the right by Jansen. Another left by Jansen. Now he goes to the uppercut.
And former Missouri Tiger, T.J. Moe.
Underneath, T.J. Moe sidesteps a man, gets to the 45. Left sideline, he's got a seam. T.J. Moe to the 30, to the 20, to the 10, to the house. 68 yards.
Oh, unbelievable.
The Hard Line starts now.
Just south of 45.
Welcome into the Hardline, 590 The Fan, 590thefan.com. I am TJ Moe, Cam Jansen, Dave Rapp, Hadley in the building, but not with a headset, although most of you would prefer that.
Well,
I think.
Don't know he's in a building, so we might as well not say anything so he doesn't get kicked out.
Good thought there, good thought. Matt Rocchio running the board and our on-site engineer today. Hey, we're on the road, Cam. This is 4331 Telegraph Road. We are in Oakville. Down in your neck of the woods.
Wait, kind of.
Sorry, Pat Maroon. But this is kind of
good to Patty. No. I'm a different kind of Hoosier. You know that.
Well, yeah. How far are you from here? 15 minutes?
Yeah, 20 minutes. So, therefore, it's not
this
even close.
This is definitely, because when we go to Fifth Street, that's 25 minutes from me, and you're like, okay, hey, we're in your neck of the woods.
St. Charles is.
Hey, we're at Blarney Stone Pub and Grill, Cam. This is just south of 55.
Oh, hey, look, a lot of people come to this place. They got great food. It's a great watering hole. I know a lot of my dad's buddies used to come here all the time. I'm going to go up and ask, talk to the owner and see if they know a couple people that my dad wanted to bring up. So,
you know what
good
I
old
love
watering
about this
hole.
Place?
What
blue
up?
Stuff everywhere.
They got it.
That's pretty
everywhere.
Cool,
they
huh?
Blue
it.
Stuff.
They yeah.
I mean, there's Cardinal stuff, too, but blue's very well represented.
No, they bleed blue here. It is what it is.
Yeah, it's it is. They got those 50th anniversary flags up here, Cam.
Oh, yeah.
Those are kind of nice. Cool. I like the layout.
I do, too.
There's a Kurt Warner jersey. I love that.
Oh,
that's good,
Rock.
Thank you.
That's a good
one. I do love that. Hey, we had an interesting weekend of news. So, first of all, and we will get to this later, it is Amazon Prime Day.
Right.
So, at 3 o'clock, you all better be sitting on your computer. I think officially 3 o'clock is when they start coming out with deals. You know what that is, Cam?
No, I don't. What's up?
3 Eastern. Okay, so 2 o'clock. There you go. Thank you, Rock. Cam, it is Amazon Prime Day where they come out with all kinds of crazy deals couple hours or so.
But
and so everybody jumps on, you sell out, and they go the next thing.
Sometimes it's like
it's like Black Friday for the internet.
And sometimes it's like, here's 40 cases of toilet paper, but
I'll
it's only
it.
$3.
Well, if you're in Venezuela, you want that.
You
so
gotta have it.
We will get into that, obviously, the big news today. Cam, I was gone this weekend. I was hardly paying attention. I had a wedding reception on a pre-wedding reception, I should say, with my fiance.
Pre-wedding reception.
In Dallas. She's
Jesus.
From Southlake,
like
Texas. Same.
Oh.
She, by the way, a fun
Translated,
fact.
I'm trying to get more free stuff out of people.
Well, yes, he's married a South Lake girl.
Okay,
yeah.
Fun fact.
I know this.
Her and Chase Daniels share a backyard.
Yeah.
So there you go. Anyway.
She's doing pretty well.
I'm going to throw her some quarters.
She's marrying me. She's not doing that well.
Exactly.
But I will say that I'm sitting there at about whatever it is, 9:30. It's kind of trying to talk to people. It's a Saturday night. And I'm like, hey, you know, it's 45 people. I don't know. It's inside of her house. They just had their closest friends. And I'm looking on Twitter, and I didn't talk to anybody for the next 45 minutes because I'm looking out of my phone.
I can only imagine.
Mike Matheny, of course, relieved of his duties after losing to the Reds in what was a very ugly game.
Very much so.
I think the consensus, at least on Twitter, which is not generally very reflective of normal thoughts, but I think the consensus around everywhere is that was kind of out of the blue because I think everybody thought John Mabry would go first.
I didn't.
Really? You thought they'd go the
really,
same time?
I thought it would be the same time.
So do you think he tied his wagon to Mabry and said, look,
yes.
Mabry's not going?
Yeah, I think he did. No. And I think I don't think he did it in – I don't think he had a chance to do it in a major grandstandy-ish way. If that's a made-up word, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think that they knew as much. I think that they knew, listen, we're not canning the guy's best friends. This guy might as well be the godfather to Matheny's children. I don't know if he is. I'm just saying that that's what I've been told, how close they were. It'd be like, you know – you can't have one without the other.
No.
I think that they knew.
Yeah, I think it was pushed to that point where they needed to make a big splash. You know, they needed to do it all, and they did. And I think they would have done it sooner, but I think Billy DeWitt was out of town, and he wanted to be in town, and he wanted to get everything tightened up. And I think they even called Matheny's wife before they even told Matheny before it got out.
Oh, that's not how Matheny.
Matheny
oh, really?
Said he called his yeah. wife on the way into
but
the room.
But I think
room.
That they okay.
Right.
But
yeah,
I think that they're trying to too.
He was talking to Tom Ackerman, Kim Lux. And it was pretty good. It was really, if you guys get a chance, I think it's on KMOX.com. It's like a 30-something minute interview. I know Frank Cusimano sat down with
him. Yeah, I watched the Frank one.
Yeah.
So they were both really good. I watched both of them. But what he was describing to Tom Ackerman was how it happened. He said, yeah, so here's kind of how it went down. I went into It was pretty somber, but even more somber than usual. After you lose a game like that, you know, it's always pretty you're bummed out. But then, you know, all the guys, so there were some people in the clubhouse that weren't normally in the clubhouse, and they said, hey, you know, let's meet up. So before going in the room, they kind of had the idea, and before I had a chance to get out, he was able to talk to his wife, and then, you know, they got a hold of the kids and all that. So.
Right. Pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
That's the way
you
to
can
it.
Smell it in the air when it's happening after a game. The night Hitch went, there was so many weird things going on down there that night that I could just tell. Then the next morning, I wake up, and there it is. I'm like, yeah.
Funny how that is, huh?
I could feel it coming.
John Hadley with
what
the headset on.
John, what
were you blindsided at all by not necessarily him getting fired, but it happening before John Mabry?
No.
So you thought his wagons were tied
too? Well, if you remember, I said last week that it was time for him to go.
Yeah.
Do you think I would say it was time for him to go? A guy who I have the greatest respect for, if I didn't have a sense that his time was almost up? No, that's called an informed opinion. That's what I do.
That is what you do, John.
And
you're
think
right.
That,
Rapper, what does that mean?
Well, I think he knows. I think I do agree with him on the fact that the respect factor, and I think the Cardinals do, regardless of what the fans might think, hold Mike Matheny the utmost of respect and love the guy. So I think there might have been a part of this that says, you know, DeWitt in the front office saves Mike Matheny from having to can his best friend.
And by the way, there is something to the timing of this. Letting him go when he was one game over 500.
Right, I think so too.
There's absolutely something in the time. Now, they had already decided, but I think had they won the game, whatever. They said they decided Friday. I'm telling you, it's no coincidence that they're like, we need to get rid of him while he's still got a winning record, and he can leave here saying he never had a losing record.
Go ahead, Dave.
Also, you got to get the interim in place. I mean, you probably have a good idea it's going to be Schlitt, but you don't know for a fact. You got to talk to him, give him a chance to make his people aware of things, let the staff know.
Yep.
I think there was a reason there was that day in between, because I've seen that on Twitter too. Well, if you knew on Friday, why are you waiting?
It's very rare to fire somebody in the middle of a series.
You know?
Go ahead, John.
I honestly think that Friday night did him in. I was sitting there watching that game Friday night and watching again the incompetence of that baseball team. Going back to what we've discussed all season long, Cam, the fundamentals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a St. Louis athlete, you go out, you play a sound game, and you give your all. No matter what, this city will support you.
Yep.
You play mediocre. And you play poor, and you lack what is perceived to be effort via poor fundamentals,
right.
Forget about it. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, Friday night's game was yet another incredibly ugly, ugly performance, which at that point in time, I think, and then you tack on another loss on Saturday, forget about it.
855-282-8255, that is a text line. John, we are at a wonderful place called Blarney Stone Pub and Grill, just south of 55, 4331 Telegraph Road. This is in Oakville. Now, I said this is kind of Cam's neck of the woods, but
not
with the
close.
Newest blue, it is for sure. Well, you were the closest guy we all knew
not
to
even
it.
Close.
Southwest-ish.
It's not even close to me.
Southwest.
Well, it's within 15 minutes. Every time we get anywhere in the galaxy of St. Charles, Cam says, hey, buddy, it's in your neck of the woods. Yeah. I live in St. Charles County.
Time on. If we're in Fenton, then okay, I understand it. Or maybe in Pacific, but we're way the hell out here, dude. This is not even close to Eureka.
All right,
but
so anyway, it's Patty Maroon's
neck
of the woods now, which now that we have somebody else to give it to, we will do that. So come out here, hang out with us. A lot of good blue stuff, TVs and such around. Okay, so I was talking about this on my Take No Offense podcast with Eric Messersmith. I was reading yesterday that Blockbuster shut down last week.
The last one?
Well, they're down to one store,
of their last three stores, which means there's one person holding on in Oregon. All right?
Yeah.
And it is a franchise owner. There's no Blockbuster corporate, obviously. There's no
– Right.
But they had a chance to buy Netflix for $50 million, which was, 2004? Right around then. Okay? They passed. I'm going to give you another example. Family Video. You guys still see them a lot.
Right, yeah.
Why is that? Because they partnered with Marco's Pizza, and they figured out
beautiful
we have to change
model.
How we go about it, and somebody next to us is going to go get a pizza, and then say, what the hell? I might as well just grab a video while I'm here.
Or they'll bring you the video
and
to
they
your house.
Exactly. They have sustained how they do it. Mike Matheny chose not to adapt that way, and with Sabermetrics and all the things that he's gone about doing. This base running team has been one of the worst. You go look at their Fangraph statistic. They've been one of the worst in baseball the last 3 years. He chooses to stay aggressive, even though they don't have the talent to do it. You look at all the war stuff, and I'm not a guy that – assigns wins based on war, right?
So,
but when you keep marching out Dexter Fowler and Jose Martinez, I get it. Jose's been your only offense for part of the season, but their war is not good. When you're looking out there and you're Harrison Bader and Jed Jerko are leading the team in war, there's something towards playing those guys a little bit more.
Right.
Same thing with saying, hey, he's our closer. We can't use him in the seventh. Sabermetrics says use him in the seventh. Right. That's your best guy. So he has refused to change with the times, and that is the knowledge. Here it is. It's on paper. The Cardinals have one of the best analytic departments in all of baseball. Here it is. Here's what you do with it. He has chosen not to go that route. He now has become Blockbuster.
Two things. One, I'm glad Blockbuster didn't buy Netflix, because I assure you it would not be what it is today.
That's absolutely right.
So the best thing to happen to us as a consumer is that Netflix went their own way and has created an incredible product. Mm-hmm. Secondly, see, again, being an old boy, I sort of look at this slightly different than you. Because, see, I think they do have guys capable of stealing bases. I think this team does underutilize its speed. But if you're not taught properly how to steal a base, if you don't have either common sense or you've gathered the art from someone within the organization teaching you how to steal a base, to me that's just as important as whether or not an analytics say that you shouldn't. Because really all analytics are about is outcome.
Yeah, exactly right. It's not it's not potential. It's
right.
only what
it's is. Strictly outcome. Well, yeah. Outcome can be skewed by, again, lack of fundamentals.
Uh-huh.
I mean, how many guys have you really thought to yourself, this guy knows how to run the bases?
Harrison Bader's the only one I can think of.
Right.
I mean, you go back to the
except
old days.
That's because he knew how to
except
do it before he
night.
Got there.
Yeah.
Right.
You go back to the old days.
And you make up with it with Rossby.
Whether it's Dave Rapp, T.J. Moe, Cam Jansen.
Matt Rocchio.
Yes. I don't know. Maybe someday Messer Smith. The fact of the matter is, at least in memory, which is as tough as the actual Messer Smith. But the fact of the matter is, anybody here at the Blarney Stone off of Telegraph Row, anybody can tell you very, very simply, this is not a Cardinal organization that we're used to seeing.
Well,
it's just that simple. So any way you can cut it, did I think Matheny at this point need to do I validate his dismissal? Yes.
No.
Do I blame Matheny in total? No.
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 Nope. Because
John
Mozeliak
has to accept responsibility.
Right.
No, not even that. I'm talking about when Tony La Russa would say, I wasn't hired to teach these guys how to play baseball at the major league level. Nobody had a problem with that. Nobody had one problem with that.
Matheny's actually made that exact quote before, too. He goes, I'm not here to teach guys how to play baseball.
That's a misnomer, though.
The difference, no, it's not.
Look at how he's mishandled
that. What I mean is this, and to your point about the fundamentals, just because you're saying I'm not teaching somebody doesn't mean you're not going over the drills and reminding somebody about fundamentals every single day.
But
in college, they weren't teaching me how to play football. They sure as hell made sure I knew my fundamentals.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, you have to come here. I mean, look, Matheny, one, was dealt a completely different hand than La Russa, because La Russa had the best of the best of the best to put on the field every day.
Right.
Matheny's had to deal with the perceived best within the organization more often than not, and then the perceived best of your new analytics team regarding Dexter Fowler.
Your best analytics team is down in Houston right now.
So my point is this. Matheny, again, at some point in time, if you're the perceived leader, you have to deal with it. You have to accept it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Mike would say the same thing. But
he has. He's been really gracious about his dismissal.
Not one time should a baseball player come up and be so ill-prepared to play as some of these guys have been. Not one time should a guy like Jordan Hicks at his age ever be given much leniency. I tell you what, Dave Duncan would not allow him to take the mound.
You know,
Dave Duncan would have made sure he was sent down. You pull this stuff with Dave Duncan, not on his watch. There's a lot.
Like what, the missing meetings and stuff like that? Or
yes.
With the,
yes.
Okay.
Well, imagine walking into a meeting like that, Chris Carpenter.
Hold on 1 second. Walt and Tony would not have done a thing. See, I don't know how much say Mo has in these situations.
That's what I was going to get at, because I don't know that Mike Matheny was ever given 50% of the power that La Russa was as far as the roster. So if you don't have control of the roster and you can't tell, hey, throw that guy down, that's a big problem.
And one more small point, look at every player every player of note for the most part that was acquired over a period of time, with the exception of a guy like Mark McGwire. Mm-hmm. Holiday could hit for his position, could field. Now, again, he was a left fielder, and those are probably your weakest fielder, but he was among the better defensive left fielders, which, again, not saying much, but he was. He could hit. He could run. I mean, how they could – you look at Jim Edmonds. Mm-hmm. You look at Larry Walker.
Carlos Beltran.
Yep. Albert Pujols. You go right down the list. Cam, these were guys who knew how to play the game, and while they may not have been the fastest guy on the team, they knew how to run bases. The Cardinals were always picking up an extra base here and there. Always picking up that. Somehow, some way, how do you get to third? Going first to third, this team had big-time players that could manage to do this.
So the question becomes this, because you look at the AAA team, they're unbelievable.
Wins and losses don't matter to me in minor league baseball.
You and Eric Messersmith.
Well, okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
But the argument would be those wins and losses are coming largely because, yes, they have unbelievable talent, right? I mean, it's probably now not as what it was a year and a half ago, but they still have one of the best farm systems in all of baseball. Those guys, while not perfectly fundamentally sound, had a lot of players that could get the job done. And then is all of a sudden their talent level different? Because one thing we were talking about last week was that the 21-year-old Jordan Hickses across all of baseball are now getting a chance much earlier without ever playing AA or AAA ball. So you're bringing up guys that can throw 105 because they can throw 105, not because they know how to do their, what do they call those? Well, you got to field your position, throw to first, all the stuff. Oh, the Cardinals are terrible.
Pitchers fielding practice?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
PFPs, right?
PFPs.
They probably didn't do nearly enough of those between their time at high A. Look, Max Sierra came up from high A last year.
Right.
Right? He hardly played. I don't think he played double A or single A before he played in the majors.
No, I thought he did have a couple of.
He got sent down and back up.
Okay,
but my point is you are now at this stage in baseball ready to go bring guys up today instead of spending 6 years in the minors and getting them ready. I mean, years ago in baseball, that was what happened. You didn't bring up 21-year-olds. Right. Now you do.
TJ, I'm not talking about anybody else but the St. Louis Cardinals. And all I can tell you is that for the most part, for nearly 15 years, the best players on this team were the leaders. The best players on this team were all-around ball players, and the best players on this team had the best fundamentals of anyone on this team.
Yeah.
How much of it is a lack of leadership and a real pro here? Because I like the analogy John made and the fact that you wouldn't have had to – Dave Duncan wouldn't have had to deal with Jordan Hicks after he misses a meeting or shows up late because Chris Carpenter would have locked the door. Chris Carpenter would have had the door locked. You're not here on time.
6'5" of Chris Carpenter,
imagine
too.
Chris Carpenter coming up to your locker afterwards when you're supposed to be the young phenom and his win relies on you at the end of the game. He's going to want you at your best. I just – I don't know – that the again, I'm not a Matheny guy. I'm on record as being as anti-Matheny as it gets as far as what he does to manage a ball club and equal wins and losses.
That's but amazing.
But at the same,
I didn't even know that they still put stuff on LPs.
But as far as developing talent, that's where I really dig into Matheny.
To John's point, though, back then you had the luxury of sending him down.
Right.
Who's going to pitch then?
Who's going to pitch if he's not here?
If Jordan Hicks isn't here, who are you pitching, right? You were to the point early on in the season. And look, I understand the argument. I don't care who pitches. It's a discipline thing.
Right.
I get that. And I actually may subscribe to that myself. But early on in the season, when Holland sucks, Leon's hurt, Lyons forgot how to pitch and then got hurt. You can go down the list.
Cecil.
Brebbia had a rough start to the year. One by one by one, Cecil's still terrible.
But it's such a circus, TJ. You got Yachty with the Instagram. You've got Norris
whatever
his thing.
But think about what you just said.
The private meetings last spring training. It's one thing after another. Bad environment.
Think about what you just said. Chris Carpenter would lock the door and send the kid down himself. And the other guy that's supposed to be the number one leader on your team is the ringleader of Instagram.
See, that's another thing. I don't think Yachty's on Instagram if guys like Carpenter and Albert are still
around.
Well,
right, but Yachty's got to be your Carpenter. Yachty's no Carpenter.
Yachty's not a leader.
Yeah, I think he's just a
You don't
really
think
good
so,
player.
John?
No. Yachty is a leader
when he
by example
on the field.
On the field.
On the field.
Which is fine. Which is important.
Which is fine, yeah.
But he's not the take charge guy. And I mean, he's just not who is.
That's fine.
Because it's Wainwright, and he spent a lot of time on the sideline the last 3 years.
That's a problem.
But even he's not focused anymore. Since when does Wainwright care about what's going on Twitter? The last 2-3 years, it feels like he's responding to guys on Twitter.
Oh, I haven't seen any of that. Give me an example of that.
The guy from Viva Alberto's. He went after that guy on Twitter.
Really?
Yeah.
I missed that because all I've ever seen for him on Twitter is pumping charity stuff and just hanging out.
Well, right. was he defending another player on Twitter?
He's saying, I'm not done. You know, defending himself.
Okay,
defending himself, stuff like that.
As long as his girl doesn't do it, I guess.
All I can tell you, all I can tell you is that this, I hope this doesn't turn out to be a classic case of be careful what you wish for. Because you probably have to go back to the 60s to find the last time that the Cardinals used a homegrown talent to succeed on the bench as a manager.
Right.
The red one being Red Chandings. You go back to 1970, nearly a half a decade. Cardinals made two solid picks. A phenomenal pick in Tony La Russa and a good pick in Whitey Herzog. And I say good pick because Whitey Herzog's team sucked just as often as they were good. And he lost two World Series he shouldn't have. And then he quit on the team. So there's, you know, Whitey Herzog, I've never seen one sports figure in this town be able to skate as much as Whitey Herzog.
Ooh.
They kiss Whitey Herzog's tootsie. And this guy not only quit on this organization when he didn't get what he wanted, like a child, but his teams, he had equally number of bad teams as he did good teams. And he blew two World Series against teams that he was definitely better than.
Well, Mike handed away a game seven in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Handed away.
Yeah.
Well, Mike Matheny ends his tenure, I mean, as Cards manager with a better winning percentage than La Russa, Whitey, Red, and Joe Torre, right?
But that's what I'm saying is, well, and Torre I give some leeway to because I was around him very close to the team. And basically, at that point in time, the brewery's interest was waning. They were not putting, in fact, they were dumping assets. And so Torre actually did a better job than many could imagine.
And that was a transitional period,
Go ahead and turn that
off,
John.
That was a transitional period for Cardinal baseball, too. That early 90s when Torrey was there, too. I mean, you had guys – you were trying –
Young man, I will call you right back.
See what happens.
Doing the Hardline live on 590thefan.com. I will call you back shortly, young man.
It's also on 590thefan.
Young woman.
And 590thefan. The radio, yeah.
Anyhow, no, that was a big timer who I had to call. I had to talk to. But, no. In all seriousness, one, they haven't been able to promote from within for nearly a half a decade and succeed. And two, aside from Herzog's couple of decent years and La Russa's incredible run, the last half decade of baseball in this town has ranged from mediocre to bad.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, be careful what you wish for. Was Matheny the right fit? Well, in the end, the answer is no. Clearly, no. But that doesn't mean this organization is going to be that much better off with Matheny gone.
That is true, and we will dig into the potential fits next segment here. I will say that there sometimes is something to getting rid of a guy and going to hire John Fox to be that guy in Denver to win the Super Bowl. You know, or excuse me, firing John Fox and going to get the guy from Baltimore. What was his name, John? The offensive coordinator from Baltimore that the Broncos hired to go win the Super Bowl.
I'm not going
to
help you look stupid.
Todd Bowles?
No. No,
no. Oh, he was deep.
I can't remember now. Okay. Anyway, bottom line is they fired a guy that was very good, and the next year they won the Super Bowl, and that
Kubiak.
Happens. Kubiak, thank you.
Gary
Kubiak.
I'm sorry, Dave Rapp, as you join this team, but there's times I just like watching.
Let him die on the line.
I just watching like watching Bo dangle. Just dangle. When his foot starts moving, I answer the question and then pull him back.
Like we Kevin will, Costner, Tim
I don't have the text
situation.
Line. We'll read, some texts on the other side of the break, Cam. 855-282-8255. Your thoughts are welcome. We will dig into the potential replacements on the other side of the break here and the strengths and weaknesses of them. Hey, but first, we got to tell you where we are today. That is 4331 Telegraph Road. We're in Oakville, Cam. I got to order some food. This is Blarney Stone Pub and Grill just south of 55. This pizza, is that the go-to here? All right, John, no pizza for you. We'll see if they serve hot dogs, and we will dive into that. Cam, you got to tell me about our boys over at One Nation real quick.
What do you want to know, baby?
I want to know everything.
What do you want to know?
Like,
are you trying to lose weight like Dave Rapp? Because he's doing a damn good job. You must be creeping in there here.
Rapp's here. You on a diet?
Rapper, you've lost 40 pounds. Since
50 now.
50
wow.
now.
Started at 243. I'm down to 195 now.
Damn,
so I'm coming up. Not 50 yet.
But you know what I mean. Like when you walk into a place, so, and I'm sure you've been doing this with this diet.
I went
which
to One Nation.
Torturing. And not to mention, we're on different remotes all the time, eating food left and right. Yeah. Like you need to have some sort of game plan. And whatever you're trying to lose weight or trying to gain weight or trying to get ripped, I mean – you go in there, you talk to these people, man. They know what they're talking about. They're all great. They're educated. They know what they love their job. They love helping people. You walk in there, and whatever your game plan is, losing weight, gaining weight, getting cut, doing this, doing that, entertaining.
Getting ready for a wedding.
get entertained for a wedding, trying to perform after your wedding.
I can't help you with that, but
no, but they can help you,
can you
with it.
Get jacked so that somebody will want to at least see you underperform for the wedding.
That's not your problem. Yeah, well, yes, you want
that's
to be able
what
to
I'm trying to. I'm trying to get jacked so that I can underperform at the wedding.
You don't want to underperform, damn it! I've done it for years. It's not good. Okay, you want to perform at all costs. And my point is, they got it for you. Just ask them. And look, they get it, man. They understand the whole thing. We've all gone through it, and we will go through it throughout our lifetime. Check them out. They know what they're talking about. Whatever case
special
is,
pill.
They got three different locations. Another one soon to come, too, by the way. So, again, check out One Nation Nutrition. They got it all for you.
There you go. That is our boys over at One Nation Nutrition. Hit up Jake. He'll teach you how to get the broad shoulders if you're trying to
they're awesome, man.
The guys with the boy
too.
Shorts.
They're awesome.
They are good stuff. Okay, we got to go to break. I think, Cam, we need to, this is probably going to be a full Cardinal show, although there's some other stuff going on here. SEC Media Day starts today.
Yeah.
So we'll dive into that and get back to you all very shortly. This is Heartline 590 The Fan, 590TheFan.com.